Welcome back to the Law of Attraction Secrets podcast. I'm your host, Natasha Graziano, and today on the show, we have an amazing human. He is built for the cold. This is one of the top cold calling coaches, that's such a tongue twister, in the world. He is someone who loves resilience. He loves anything that takes effort and strain from you. And today we're going to learn all around how to overcome those moments where you need the resilience, those moments of challenge and triumph, and how you can cold call at your best. For anyone who wants to learn about sales, this is the episode to listen to. Welcome to the show, Joe Warner.
Awesome. Good to be here.
So good to have you here.
Absolutely.
Okay. I mean, there's so much to talk about with this.
Oh,
you are the expert at picking up the phone and cold calling. Let's go to the psyche first of it.
Yeah.
Like, that takes a lot to pick up the phone to a stranger. It takes a lot to go through some of the cold that you've been through. And the cold challenges. Start there.
Man, I'm just even starting with like what got me into just like sales, because I come from an immigrant family. You know, everyone's Filipino. And shout out to my Filipino family in Hawaii. So that's where I'm from. But there was like a deep why that formed at my eighth grade graduation. And even kind of coming here, I was like, where would I even start? But this is where it all started, where my grandma on my dad's side and my dad probably don't even remember having this conversation, but I'm like graduating from eighth grade. We're at my grandma's house for all this like family dinner. And I just overhear this conversation. They're talking about one of my classmates whose dad ran an oil company, was super successful, had this giant pink mansion, went to my high school, all this type of stuff, and very successful family. And my grandma whispers over to my dad, "I don't see anyone in our family being that successful." And that's when it started.
Oh my God. So you are the first generation millionaire in your family.
I'm not going to claim that as like that's, but as far as I know, there's no one, everyone in my family was kind of a teacher, and they just all like, they worked really hard, but I just saw something that I was like, I was inspired by Michael Jordan.
Wow. The GOAT. Really? How come?
It was just the greatness of it. It was that nothing was too hard for him. All the pressure, everything he went through. I saw basketball was, I had a dream to be in the NBA.
You did?
Yeah, that worked so well. I was 5'6", Filipino. Yeah, I went very far in that. I made it to high school, but I was told so much in life that I couldn't do things.
Right.
We can't afford this. We can't. That was the subliminal programming. That's why, like, your show, like, hearing you on Ed Milette and just, like, the law of attraction, I'm like, you attract what you are. And very early on at 19, I became very aware of, like, my ability to create my reality. Everything I wrote down, even though it was, like, 4 or 5 years later, I would go back into my journal or whatever. I'm like, how did everything happen? And I have created what I've created with no connections, no network. So when I went to Marquette, where I went to school, I got accepted into this program. It takes like 1% of applicants, right, to work with guys like Jimmy Butler, Jay Crowder, people that know those athletes. And I remember getting into that program, and it was everything I had written out. And I became a no-name athlete to a top 400 meter, you know, track athlete at a very top high school in Portland. And that was like this Tracktown USA. So all these different things that I've overcome led me to see like, okay, I can overcome whatever is too hard for everyone else. I put on my podcast, hey, too hard for the average Joe, just right for the listeners of my show.
Wow, but your name is Joe, and you show how to go from average Joe to GI Joe. That's
correct.
Your quote
That's
that you
correct.
Use,
That's
which
correct.
Is super cool. Yep. Okay, so resilience.
Yep.
What goes into that mindset? I mean, for me, I know from past experience, I've been through hell and back. And I am the most resilient person I know because I've had to get through so
Your story is remarkable. I've read your book, yep.
Crazy story. And it's like, I've been through 10 lifetimes. Most people haven't been through this in one lifetime. What I've been through, it's in 10 lifetimes what I've been through in one. And so essentially I teach people how to be their best self and be on the other side of it. And I don't come from a place of being silver spoon fed. I'm saying, I've been through fucking hell. Like, I've been through the worst of it, and here I am now. And things that I find are really good for resilience is committing to a goal and sticking it through, getting right through to the end of it, not starting something and losing or neglecting, committing to a goal and going for it. So what do you do with the resilient mindset?
Resilience is two things. It's one, when life happens to you, and it's two, the positions you put yourself in that are just, you're manipulating your mind to get past your own self-limiting belief. So It started for me when I was 19. I got into, you know, Marquette, and it was wild because, like, my parents, I grew up, you know, one, I was the oldest of six. So it's not that my parents didn't love me, it's that they had so many other kids to pay attention to. And I've learned that early on. But seeing at 19, when I first went to Marquette, I took two suitcases with me, and that was all I had. Flew by myself, no welcoming or whatever. Like, it was just me and myself going to a town I didn't know anyone for school. And it forced me to, like, learn how to network. It forced me to make my own connections. I had no, you know, dad's connections, mom's connections, not saying that's a bad thing. It just forced me to have to learn how to network with people. So at 19 was when life, like, hit me. Like, so many things happened all at once. Like, two aunts attempted suicide. One was successful. My grandpa was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Girlfriend broke up with me. And at the same time, what was the other thing that happened? Oh, yeah, one of my coaches we talk about, he played football, University of Wisconsin-Madison, very successful in what he did, but he passed away at 24 in a motorcycle accident.
In one year?
In 1 month.
In 1 month?
I was 19.
My God, so what did that do to you?
It gave me a reason. Because I think a lot of people would go, you choose. Like, your life is a sum of your choices.
Yes.
And so a lot of people would kind of like, oh, I'm going to, you know, do drugs, I'm going to do alcohol to cope with it, all this type of stuff. And I didn't feel it then, because I was just so motivated at 19. I was part of different businesses, and I was just so like, this is my reason. This is my reason why I'm going to go out there and do whatever I need to. And, like, I was building a business at the time on top of full-time school, on top of, like, being an RA for, like, that's in college, a resident assistant, what we call it in the US. It was like 800 freshmen. Everyone's just drunk every weekend, right? So imagine babysitting that on the weekends and then, you know, work and just, but I was always doing that because I knew going back to my eighth grade graduation, that dinner, like, I'm going to do whatever it takes. And so I leaned on, you know, the Mamba mentality of Kobe. That's why it's very personal coming out here and, like, seeing Kobe's statue yesterday. I took time to do that.
Wow.
Because
you said you were going to go do it.
When he passed away, it hit me, like, so hard, because how I've pursued life, how I've pursued sales was all the Mamba mentality. Even though I grew up a Trailblazers fan, which is ironic, Kobe scorched us, like, growing up. But it was just always the Mamba mentality in the back of my head. Hey, too hard for everyone else. This is my playing field. So that's my view of resilience.
God, I love that. I really like that quote, too hard for everyone else. This is my playing field. This is for me. Yeah. And you really are that person. Like, I feel like you commit to it. Okay, I want to go into sales because this is something I love. Before we go there, we're just going to go to a quick ad break. If you aren't yet a member of our Law of Attraction app, the app that features everything about scripting for love, money, happiness, how to accelerate your career, how to accelerate your name and brand online, something your girl's very good at coaching on and doing herself, I'm results-based, baby. If you want to learn how to manifest love, how you can attract the partner of your dreams into your life, if you want to magnify the money coming into your life, you want to become magnetic, you want to be an attraction force to be reckoned with, you want to put millions of dollars into your bank account through manifesting, you want to learn the secrets behind scripting your dream life, get into our app. The membership is here. All you got to do is join. And guess what? You also get access to our coaching calls every week with yours truly every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific, which is 1 p.m. Eastern, which is, I think, 6 p.m. UK time. Wherever you are in the world, it is for you. We coach every week, and I personally coach you on scripting for love, scripting for happiness, scripting for health, scripting for money, scripting for career. I show you how to manifest all of the things you want into your life. And all you've got to do is attend those live coaching calls every week. When you get into that membership, you get access to all of our courses, all of our programs, the meditations, the powerful subconscious reprogramming meditations that will help you to retrain your mind, reframe your mindset into believing that you are worthy of money pouring in abundantly, into believing that your soulmate is just around the corner, or strengthening your current relationship. So wherever you are in life, if you feel like you want to better your life, do you? Do you want to better your life? I'm sure you do. You want to better your bank account. You want to better your health. There is no one I've ever met that said, no, I'm good where I am. Never. Somebody always wants to be happy. Do you want to be happy? Do you want to be wealthier? Do you want to be more in love? Do you want to have better people being attracted to you? And I'm not just talking about love. I'm talking about when you show up somewhere. Do you want to be magnetic when you walk into that room? If you do, if the answer is yes to any of those questions, or you want to learn how to grow your name online, You want to learn how to get more eyeballs on your work. Otherwise, what is the point in having that amazing business if nobody's hearing about it? The app has all the answers for you. Join our membership now. Get inside of it, and I'll see you there. Okay, so sales. This is something which you are the genius at. Talk to me about cold calling, because, bro, most people do not want to do cold calling. Yeah. Why are you so comfortable in the cold calling? Is it that same?
Well, I got comfortable being uncomfortable.
Well, comfort is the enemy of growth.
Correct.
I have quotes like this in my book, so that's probably why you resonate.
But I got thrown into it because when I graduated college, I had this whole plan. I had this internship in this company, and I kind of got forced into cold calling. Not forced, but like they literally sat me down after 2 weeks of training, didn't pay me for it. And then all of a sudden, they don't have this job anymore for me. And I'm like ready to go outside of college. And I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm sitting here without a job. Again, I have no connections because I'm in Milwaukee and all my family and everyone is in Portland, Oregon and Hawaii. So I don't have all these people to lean on. So I just had to like network. And through networking, I land in staffing and recruiting, which is kind of like, hey, make 80 to 100 cold calls a day, go knock on all these doors. And here I am like bald. I was bald then. So like bald headed Joe, because it was like easy to do your hair, whatever. But like bald headed Joe, not knowing how to do a tie, all this stuff. And I'm literally shaking hands with like CFOs, CEOs, and I'm like 20 years old.
It's fucking crazy.
And it was the most uncomfortable 6 months of my life that set a track to be like, I'm going to be that guy. Like I'm going to be, there was no call that I was like not willing to like overcome to figure it out, because I know that's, I coach hundreds of thousands of salespeople in cold calling globally right now, a seventh level. It's a top 10 sales training company, and people jump on, and so many people want to know the what and the why and the how. It's like, hey, how many calls have people made? And it's just this giant like weight, right? This giant weight. But sometimes when you pick up weight, aka in the gym, you tend to actually get bigger.
Which is literally what you coach on. You are an expert. This is what you do. You coach on resilience, on training, on the gym. So tell me the sync between the training and the calls.
The training and the calls, it helps me get an alignment. Because so I've been training, man, it's got to be 21 years straight. I've never missed a month in the gym.
No way.
Yep. 21 years straight. Never missed. And what that's led me to have has this consistency, and like, I'm not looking at the result because I know what's gonna happen. See, even like professional athletes track their stats, yet I'd say 90% of salespeople don't even like track their numbers on a weekly, monthly basis. So I can progressively see where I'm getting better. Put me in any market, I could know no one. Put me in any market, anywhere, I'll learn how to cold call in that market, talk to the people there, right? Learn how to network, get referral sources, and within 6 months, I'll have a full pipeline.
That's fucking incredible. Okay, let's go to cold calling. This is so cool.
Yeah.
All right, give me the top three no-nos on a cold call. Because people are listening today and they're like, okay, you've taught me the mindset, but teach me how to do this.
Man, I'm gonna trigger some people right now, because a lot of you are very familiar with like kind of the old gurus, like, hey, like be someone's friend, be likable, all this stuff. Hey, you gotta have high energy. No, it doesn't work anymore. Here's why it doesn't work is because it's almost when you're calling someone, a prospect in the back of their head is like, you're trying to like me so you can sell me something.
So give me the top.
So you have to like, when Michael Jordan or Kobe would walk in a room, they're not like overhyped or they're just walking in. But why does everyone want a picture with them? Because there's that calm, detached confidence.
Yeah.
So when I'm entering a call, it's just like, it's just Joe Warner. Curious, you could help me out for a second. And then they're just like already drawn in right there. That's how I start. Or it's like, hey, did you get my email? But I don't care if they say yes or no. I'm just going right into it. Because I'm not, it's just who I am on the call. And I've learned that over time. Any environment you walk into, it's like the person in control of the call or the room is the calm, confident one.
Okay, give me the top three no-nos and then gonna give me the top three yes.
Okay. No-nos, like saying, hey, this is so-and-so, the reason for my call is, okay? That's number one.
Really?
Yeah.
So you can't do the...
Because it identifies you as a salesperson.
Whoa. Oh yeah, because it's like, hey, this is Hannah and I'm calling you about the solar panels.
Yeah. And that's what 90% of us...
So then instantly I'm like, no, I don't give a fuck. Like, correct. I'm in the middle of
they're
my
triggered.
Work day.
Yeah, they're triggered. So... Number two is that, like, we're trying to justify our existence on the phone to prospects. We're trying to hold them there and tell them why what we have is so great.
Right.
When in the first 2 to 3 seconds, even 8 seconds, what prospect, this is what something to do at the same time. Is you have to tune in what I call it. It's WIIFM radio. It's WIIFM, what's in it for me? the prospect has in the back of their head.
So good.
Of why this, why would I spend more time on the phone with you if don't you don't even resonate with me in the first 8 seconds? I think I teach Kobe, 8:24. You have 8 seconds for them to pick up your verbal and nonverbal cues, how confident in your conviction in the first 8 seconds. Then you have 24 seconds to communicate what you do, how it helps them. If it doesn't, you lost their attention. All cold calling is now is a game of attention.
Okay, so next no-no after, yeah. Hey, this is Hannah and I'm calling from pest control, yeah. Whatever, is the fuck no.
Next no-no is asking questions that only serve you. Meaning you're asking them questions about their business they already know the answer to. They just know that you're actually trying to get answers to something in the future you're going to use against them.
Yeah, this is so good. Yeah. So people will, so, okay, got it. So yeah. No questions like, so have you bought solar before?
Correct. Because here's why. Because number two is that's a yes or no question. It's the, if you ask two or three yes, they can say yes or no. It kind of feels like a Q&A instead of an open-ended question.
So I've heard the other way that you're meant to get yeses and I agrees.
Yes.
In advance of.
So that, yes, correct, because that's why I'm saying I'm going to trigger some people, because some people are like, oh, that can kind of still work. It's like, yes, but actually there's a game of status now we play, where it's like if you're doing things that they feel is putting you in the same bucket as other salespeople, it's like, get all these yeses, right? All the yeses do is like people are saying yes, but they're actually in the back of their head being like, they're going to use this later to sell me something. And so there's resistance on the back end of the call and the back end of the sales process that people don't realize started in the first 8 seconds.
Wow. Okay, give me the third no-no.
Yeah. The third no-no, I think, is just talking too much. Like, if you're the salesperson, you're talking 70, 80% of the call and you listen to your call and you just see that, like, I am trying to get in the first 24 seconds someone to communicate to me right away. I'm kind of sharing how I might help them. So if I'm selling commercial truck insurance, it's like, hey, when's the last time you looked to make sure you're not paying for trucks that sit? And all of a sudden they start talking. And that's in the first 20 seconds. So once they start talking, but I asked a question to tie them to a moment in time, because now the problem I mentioned I can solve has leverage. It's actually a moment in time. They're sitting in that seat, feeling that pain. If I don't have that, I'm just speaking theory and pontificating with them, and they don't have time for that.
Okay. The hardest thing to coach is to sell is mindset coaching.
Yes.
Right. Anything that's non-tangible as yes. such, like you're not selling solar, you're not selling tables, you're not selling a physical, tangible thing. Yeah. So could you cold call and sell a mastermind or a coaching
thing? I'm confident I can learn that. Here's because I haven't sold that in that sense, but even like cold call coaching, yes, 100%. Because when you help people see the unforeseen, not where the puck is currently at, but where the puck is going to go, and help them prepare their business or their skill set for the next 2 years, not just where they're currently at, you can sell anything.
Wow.
Because you're helping people see a future state that even though it was possible, to problems they didn't realize they had yet.
Yo, this is so powerful. I see why you are the guy that goes into the biggest sales companies and coaches them on cold calling. I get it. You're super powerful. Okay, so the three biggest yes, therefore, on a call is interact with them in that first 7 seconds and yep. get them to engage with you.
Get them to lower their guard. Like, I learned this from Jeremy Miner, awesome guy. Like, I'm so blessed to have his mentorship. But he always talks about AB. We hear the ABCs of selling, always be closing.
Yeah.
We are in the era of the ABDs, always be disarming.
Whoa.
We're an always be disarming. You have to be detached. People can sense when you're trying to like ask questions to sell them something versus just be genuinely. The default tone you want on cold calling mm-hmm. is just childlike curiosity. You have kids.
Yeah.
When they ask questions, do they think about what they're going to ask? No.
No.
When do they care what the answer is going to be? No.
No.
So you just ask questions in a way. It's like, wait, what caused you to go this way? Why yeah. did you make that decision?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, how do you see yourself going forward? These are types of questions in the beginning that just puts prospects in a moment in time. And I start to layer emotion into why they, because what happens? They start to self-incriminate. They start to share why they made decisions that way, which is going to tell me moving in the sales process how they're going to make decisions moving forward and the limiting beliefs that I need to unseat so that way they're actually ready to buy at the end.
God, this is so good. Okay, let's do a trial. Yeah. This is really fun. I feel like I've never done this on that episode.
You've never done this?
No, this is so cool. This is why it's really fun. Okay, I'm going to be the person you're calling. Sell me selling ice to an Eskimo. Do Okay, do the hardest one, which is the
because you are
the best of this. I want to put you on the deep end.
You're putting me in the spot. I'm ready for it.
Are you ready for it? Well, because you love challenges. Yeah. You live in that. You thrive in that environment. Yeah. Okay, so.
So what am I going to sell?
You're going to sell me a mindset coaching package.
Okay.
And genuinely, it's going to help the person. Like you're this isn't hard to sell, but I'm going to be the person on the other end of the phone, and I'll be a character who is open to the cold call.
Okay, open to the cold call. All right.
Yeah, not like the fuck you, bye.
Yeah.
Okay, ready?
Hey, we could do that.
Okay. Okay, all ready?
Right. Yep, ring.
Okay, we're going to do a shortened version of it, obviously. Okay. So we're just going to do like a 3-minute version. Okay, right, I'm going to put a timer on and you've got to sell it. Okay, this is so fucking fun. Never done this on a show, but I love playing games. You have a 3-minute timer starting now. Hello?
Hey, is this Natasha?
Yes.
Hey, it's just Joe, Joe Warner. I'm curious if you could help me out for a second.
Sure.
Yeah, I got your, I don't know if it makes sense to talk. I got your name from Dean Graziano or something, mentioned you might be open to looking at some ways to kind of overcome some possible limiting beliefs in your business that might just be holding you back from where you could be going.
I mean, yeah, I definitely have limiting beliefs, but I feel like this is so random. Wait.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. And I apologize. I didn't mean to confuse you. And like I said, I didn't even know if like we could really help just yet. But like when's the last time you felt in your business that you're just like you just knew you were going to the next level, but there was something there you couldn't quite explain that was limiting you?
Oh, yeah, it was a couple of months ago. We were about to scale up and I really felt like I had this block. Yeah. Are you a coach in this?
I mean, possibly. Like I said, I'm not even sure if it makes sense to talk, but like how long ago was that?
Oh, that was like 2 months ago.
Okay. And when you felt that, I guess, what were you really working on in your business to really get to the next level? Like what activities?
Well, I wanted to scale and I felt like
how?
With my business, I wanted to make 7 figures as opposed to 6.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So what's the impact that had not getting to that 7 last year?
Well, it was really impactful because we just didn't get over that mark and that goal.
Yeah. And how did the team respond to kind of the whole situation?
Everyone felt disheartened, like they wanted to, but they, you know, kind of no one knew why and everyone was pointing fingers.
Oh, fascinating. Okay. Wait, real quick, by the way, I'm sorry, just calling in between appointments. What we could do, if you're not opposed to it, we can continue this conversation and see if there aren't like 1 to 2 ideas that we've like, you know, Dean and the others have used to kind of just help you get over that hump this year. Would you be opposed to that?
Yeah. Does it cost me anything?
I mean, possibly. I mean, maybe, you know, 200,000. You got that ready? No, I'm kidding. Like, we don't even know yet if it makes sense, but that's kind of what we can chat on.
Oh, cool. Okay. So wait, in the next school, you'll give me tips?
Yeah. So tips as far as like, you know, where you're trying to go with not just where the income is at, but also what's the track record on the way there based on where you felt you've been through any beliefs you may need to alter to actually get you past that breaking point.
Yeah, I like it. Okay, how do we book a call?
Yeah. So let's
I see some of your work?
Yeah, I'm more than happy to send it on over. I can send that with the invite. So if you're not opposed to it, like I said, I can get you over. My email is, you know, joewarner123@gmail.com, and then that's where I would set the meeting from there.
Boom. Now we've got a meet. Okay, that was fucking awesome. We did that in 2.5 minutes. We didn't even hit the timer. Okay, next question. So now they take the email. You're a genius. Yeah, the way your vibe, like I literally firsthand can say that was fire. Like I wouldn't have hung up the phone and I am the worst for it. Like I'd be like, no. You're amazing. I see why you have so many clients. Guys, by the way, before I even go any further asking questions, there is a link below to Joe Warner's page. And do you have a link where they can...
Yeah, they can book time with me. And we
amazing.
Can, yeah.
We can put that link below as well. So if someone's like, I need you to come and teach my business, like you can see why he's the best at this. Oh my God.
Well, and the other thing crazy too is like you probably felt there were certain pauses.
Yes.
Like some of them, because here's the thing, when you pause, especially if you're that far in the conversation, it actually makes you sound a little more human.
Wow.
Like people are so focused on being polished versus just communicating in a way you would like a friend.
Yeah. Yeah, you paused and in some parts you went faster on. Wow, that's amazing how you do it. Could you do this for any industry? Could you train companies in any industry?
It's a system.
Right.
It's a system. So, I mean, right now I've trained over 160 industries. So
fucking crazy. So wait, at this point, when she gives you, when the email happens, you now book an actual call where you're going to sell her.
Yeah. So I'm offering my email first because I'm letting you know in this role play that, hey, I'm going to get you over the information you need, but it's going to be in the context of helping you prepare for the meeting.
Right. So what are you going to send her?
Yeah, so I'd probably send like maybe either a case study I did or just like some certain things of ways to think, like all that stuff kind of built out in marketing beforehand. Like this is if I was building out the offer. You know, obviously this is an industry I've never sold in, and they're just like, hey,
go. No, but that was the coolest thing because you killed it on the first one. You just proved exactly the point that you are the best at that. Okay, so let's go to KPIs.
Yes.
For anyone that doesn't know what KPI is.
Key performance indicator.
And you the other day blew my mind when you were talking about how you help your clients with this.
Yeah.
What is it? Because when people ask you, what do? They really don't give a fuck. They care what you can do for them.
Correct.
Tell me about the KPIs and what you're helping KPI, people do.
KPIs is just tracking numbers. But here's the thing. James Clear talks about this all the time. Like, you never, like, rise to the level of your goals. So you guys always set your goals based off, oh, I want to hit this. I want to hit this income. I need to hit this quota. But you actually fall to the level of your systems. So if you don't know how to actually take the result that you want, reverse engineer it down to the daily, weekly, monthly things you need to do and be able to sustain that consistently, if you don't have the systems for that, you might as well just throw your goals out the window.
Wow. Okay.
Because you're not breaking it down into the daily things you have to sustain and the systems you have to build to support the actual activity that gets you to the result in the first place.
God, this is good. So if someone has a goal of reaching $10,000 extra a month or $100,000, or a million, it's the same thing?
Yeah, it's the same exact thing. So there's a couple rules that I call, it's like the 3X rule. So you take your goal, right, and you stretch it, and you have to build, you talk about manifesting all the time. You have to see the end goal as if you're working to 3X your goal. Why is that? Because sometimes markets may go under, sometimes markets shift. I've been parts of multiple different, I've worked in 15 industries. So I've seen a lot of like ebbs and flows where, and especially too, I'll tell this right now, if you're a salesperson and you're trying just to hit quota, that is the surest way to not hit quota, is just trying to hit quota.
Wow.
It's the surest way to miss it. Yeah, you have to make it bigger because it forces your brain to get creative as if you're going there. And it also gives your brain an abundance mindset. So when you're on the phone, the eagerness and commission breath that comes out of you is not there because you're thinking of your pipeline in terms of like it's so full and you're seeing it. A full pipeline will change everything in your life. That's why I've always believed, like, if you don't have skill sets to get a full pipeline, get them. If you want to be a top lethal salesperson, it's the most lethal skill set.
How does someone get a full pipeline?
Well, obviously they can work with me. No, but someone gets a full pipeline by, let's say you want to make 10 grand a month. Okay, so then you actually need to work as if you're going to make 30 grand a month. Now you need to break that down into the average deal size that is, how many deals you need to close. And there's something called KYN. Know your numbers. Mm. Professional athletes know exactly their stats, how fast they run, how fast they jump, right? Do you know your sales numbers? How many calls you're converting to meetings? How many meetings are going to proposal? How many proposals turn into deal? And if you don't have that, you're not tracking that. You're just hoping and praying you don't miss quota.
I'm literally sending this episode to my entire team. I have a full sales team and I am sending this to them. Yeah. This is anybody else that's got a sales team in your company or is a salesperson, send this to them. This is gold dust. I'm literally doing this the minute this episode is out. Yep. This is so good.
Because then you all of a sudden now have a system, right? And you have a system for tracking. Now you understand how to get better because until you get the result, you need to see some type of result, but your conversion rates start to get better. Then you can actually work less and make more. Because sales is a skills game, not a numbers game. Sorry to all those who believe the gurus that it's a numbers game. It's not, it's a skills game now. Because that's how people, like I was around Jeremy. Jeremy's making a couple million a year at like, you know, 25 or whatever it was. And that's when he started. And just in sales, it's crazy. And this is stuff that I've learned from him. I've learned from others too. But like there's you and you scale it from there. It's a sliding scale. So if you just start there, you start with the small incremental things, just like Legos.
Yeah.
Then you eventually stack a couple more Legos together. But now you have bits and pieces. You can systematically get better and better and better, one to two things at a time. Don't focus on any more than that. Just focus on, hey, maybe I need to get my calls to meetings up. Maybe I need to get like meetings to proposals. What am I saying? What's one question I could ask that could put them in a position where they're wanting to buy from me and persuade themselves they want to work with me versus me telling them this is the next step. So all these little nuances, but it's systematized in a way that can help them understand as if I'm a brand new sales rep, I have no, you can self-coach. A lot of people like professionally procrastinate and like do too much learning. They consult 15 different experts versus just, hey, maybe you just should review your call and see what the energy was. And kind of from there, how could I get better on the next one? Because the best salespeople, their speed to implementation is like overnight. They don't even wait to implement. They don't take in too much, but they don't wait to implement the one or two things they learned.
Wow, that's incredible. How do people get better on getting leads? Because I know someone out there is thinking, you know, oh, but it's okay for you, Natasha. You have 40 million followers on Instagram, 5 million on TikTok, and many more on other platforms. You're going to have organic leads. How does someone who is wanting to sell today, mm-hmm. and they have a successful business, but they want to now double down on it and get salespeople, where are they getting their leads from? Is that something that you're into?
That's a great question, because you can do marketing, or you can do, I mean, Hormozy, Alex Hormozy talks about this, right? You can have paid ads, you can have like marketing, you can reach out to your warm list, there's ways to do that. But if you have no network and you're just starting with absolutely nothing, there's something called Google, and it typically has a phone number of a business, and then you have like your cell phone, right? I'm being funny, but like people don't even think to just like start there. I don't even care if it's a list of like 20, if you're selling, you know, payroll to like a restaurant and there's 50 restaurants in the area, you know, call all 50 of them, see if you can just get a meeting with them. Right.
Wow.
And you learn, even if you don't book one single meeting, you know what you'll learn? You'll learn how to communicate in a very short period of time. Because what cold calling does, it teaches communication on such a rapid bullet train like frequency that you can convey everything you do to someone and what it means for them in 20 seconds. That skill set, like, it doesn't matter if you're pitching to a crowd, it doesn't matter if you're in cold calling, it doesn't matter if you're door knocking. So that's from the cold perspective, how to reach a cold audience. Like, and get leads that way. Because one thing, I'll share this story. From 2020 to 2023, I had built a $7 million book of commercial insurance business and then sold that and then helped scale a book by $10 million in a year. So that was that. I actually left that, right, and came back. When I came back to it, started from zero. In 1 year, on top of managing 40 sales reps, built a book to just about $5 million.
Shit, that's incredible.
From just cold calling, and I started with nothing. Zero. Just a phone, just numbers and my phone.
And you found them on Google?
There's a public, so in public transportation, there's like there's a whole database through the FMCSA, and I just went through that database and called.
God, that's incredible. So it's actually legal to cold call people.
Yeah.
You're allowed to do it.
Yeah. Now there's compliance rules around, like, don't call someone like four times in a day.
Yeah.
Right. But there's also just, hey, if you have that, then you can find their email. There's a lot of different things you can use. There's things that transcribe emails and you can test it in a thing. Like, there's account research that has to be done. But I've done all of it, even to the point where I had nothing. And it was just like this list, you get brokered lists and half of them aren't even right. But you just roll through it. Like, you, people see, like, they want a result so quick to just get a meeting from a cold call. That's not the goal. That's actually the third mistake. I don't know if we went back
there.
Yeah. The third mistake people make is they think the goal is to get a meeting. What if the goal was to actually just see if you wanted to work with that person? You wanted to work with that person, not they want to work with you.
Change the mentality.
Right.
Do I want to work with you? Oof, I love that.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So you really switch it up. Yeah. Change the mentality.
Yeah, because I'm the one who talks to 100 of them a day. They only have the perspective of one. Themselves.
How interesting.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's just like when a trucker wants to be like this, this, and this, all I see an objection is they just don't see what I see yet. They don't see what I see yet, and that's okay. Maybe it was something I said in the beginning of my call that just caused them to not be open, or maybe it's just timing. So many people have told me not interested. I call them for the third time. All of a sudden, it's the right time. It doesn't, like, people take things so personally in sales, and I think that's just what allowed me to build that resilience, because I just don't. I had one guy from New York, for the sake of this podcast, not going to give every swear word he told me, but he just told me this, this, and this, and my mom should have never birthed me, and like that I should just quit. So it was wild. It was he just had a bad day, but a New Yorker, I don't even know who the guy is, but he just went off on me for about 10 minutes. And I was like, guys, you got to listen to this call. But I wasn't like, I was kind of shook up for a second. And then I went and just shared it with all my peers. Like, check out what this guy just said to me. And then I just went on making calls that day.
Wow. And committed.
See,
I tell my sales team, I'm like, write your number down that you want to achieve on a post-it note, stick it on your wall, and that is the number you're shooting for. Not the quota, I tell them, not the normal. It's how much do you need to sell so you can make that number?
Yep.
Literally, now work it out. Now we need to, and that's why you have an expert like you come in and say, right, here's the KPI. Okay, let's go through how many calls you need to make, how many people you need to contact, how many settings, meetings you need to set.
I even have it broken down into how to set minimum and kind of stretch goals based off that. And then you actually plan it into your calendar based off your energy. It's not time management, it's energy management. And that's how I tie the health and human performance.
Oh
Because I'm building sales athletes. This isn't just like, hey, I'm just going to sell. It's like, hey, if you didn't go to bed early, if you didn't actually eat right over lunch, all those things could affect your energy. The greatest intent to make those calls in the afternoon dips because you decided to have a certain thing at lunch. This is what I teach, because it's like we're athletes.
So true, because I just offered you some of my M&Ms that I got from on Nick Cannon's show this morning, and he has the biggest candy shop in his studio, so I was just eating everything, and I was like, do you want one? And you were like, no, because I don't eat at this time
because,
of the day.
Because I knew in 30 minutes I would start to wane a little bit in this. And my brain, so even before this, I specifically timed my probiotic, I timed my, and people don't need to be on my level because think of it this way, 10 to 15 years of sales, and only 2 months ago, I was diagnosed with a severe obstructive sleep apnea, which meant that the doctors were saying I maybe averaged a quality sleep of 2 to 3 hours a night for the last 10 to 15 years. So imagine doing all this stuff and working, you know, sometimes 14, 16 hour days between sales job and then another business, and just not, this is where resilience just kicked in. I didn't realize that was going on. I only imagine had I figured that out like 10, 15 years ago, where my energy would have been at. So by default, I had to choose no alcohol. By default, I had to choose how to dial it in. Otherwise, I was sleeping, even with 10 hours of sleep, imagine needing 4 naps a day because of that's how bad it was affecting me. Severe obstructive sleep apnea is genetic for me, and that I was not breathing 30 times an hour at night.
No way.
Yep.
How do you know?
Because that was the test. I had 30 interruptions of not breathing per hour at night when I did my sleep test.
Is it when you wake up and you're like gasping for air?
Oh, I was gasping for air all the time. There was points where my wife at the time, she literally would feel if I was alive.
Whoa.
Because she was like, make sure I'm breathing. And she would like, if she couldn't feel any air coming out of my nose, she would like just touch my chest or whatever to make sure I was breathing.
Whoa, that's so, that's scary.
But yeah,
this
it's
is
scary.
What built your resilience mindset.
Right, right.
Because you got so empowered. You became this amazing guru when it came to resilience and overcoming things and getting through. And as you say, what's not for them is for me.
Correct.
What they can't handle, you can. I love this. I've learned so much today about sales. Is there anything else you want to share with the audience?
Just don't let people like have free real estate in your head.
Whoa, we literally heard that before. That's a quote literally that I hear multiple times on this show.
Yeah, we think sometimes like, you know, we want to have real estate in other people's heads, but you can't let people have free real estate in your head.
No.
Like, because you just have to be able to just like identify it. And you talk about this all the time. Identify it and be like, hey, that served a purpose. I can't wait to prove that person wrong.
Wow. I love it. Well, Joe, thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely.
This has been so beautiful having you here. Having you as a guru when it comes to sales, we've never had someone talk about this. We've never done that game that we got to do. So I know this is going to help someone. If you enjoy this as much as I did, send this to the friend that you know is going to enjoy it, or send it to your sales team. Just go to your people in sales, in your people that you know around sales, and implement this stuff. Teach it and learn it. This is so valuable. What I learned today is phenomenal. Thank you so much for coming.
Absolutely.
Your link is below for anyone who wants to follow Joe Warner, and the link for booking a call with him. Thank you so much for coming.
Awesome. Sweet.